KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:02, it's mostly sunny, 65 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. A woman from eastern Iowa was transported by medevac ambulance to the Cass County Hospital here in Atlantic following a rollover accident that occurred this morning on Interstate 80. The call about the crash on I-80 westbound near the 54-mile marker came in at around 6:40 a.m. Sheriff's officials said that Susan Herman from Cedar Rapids was ejected from the 2001 Ford Explorer as it rolled. She was found laying in the north ditch. The woman was conscious and breathing when rescue crews arrived on the scene. Herman was traveling westbound in the passing lane and crossing into the right lane when her SUV drifted onto the shoulder. The vehicle hit a guardrail cable before rolling into the ditch. News time is 9:02.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi. This is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Authorities say an excavator operator was injured when his machine fell through the floor of the old Spirit Lake City Hall. Sioux City television station KTIV said the accident occurred around 9:30 a.m. Tuesday. The machine was being used to tear down the building. The excavator landed on one of its sides in the building basement. The operator was taken to a local hospital for treatment of several cuts from broken glass. The crane removed the excavator Wednesday so work could continue. A Southwest Iowa farmer is one of the first to adopt smart farm technology that allows him to manage most everything on the farm from his smartphone. Joe Hassel says hooking up his farm near Emerson to the technology is an ongoing operation.
We started adapting that approximately a year ago, and we've been adding and adding and adding ever since. There's more apps, it seems as though every day, but we have an app for our water in the house, the water flow, the electrical current situation in the house, the temperature controls, whether it gets too warm or too cold in the house.
The temperature is also controlled in his workshop, and he's hooking up his grain bins to monitor them.
We're going to put an app on there and put a device on there to monitor the heat within the bin and the moisture of the grain that's in the bin. Of course, we have our surveillance cameras, which are well worth their weight in gold, actually, just being able to look and see what's going on with in the farmstead, whether I'm here or in Minneapolis, Minnesota, visiting my son.
He says he can also monitor feed levels for livestock, door locks, and fuel tanks. An official with Iowa Linked Up said the smart farm technology will be available in many other parts of the states in the coming months. The official says the extension of fiber optic cable in rural areas of the state and increased broadband coverage through new cell towers has made the system possible. Hassel has an agreement with Iowa Network Services, or INS, for the technology. It costs between $5,000 and $6,000 to install, but Hassel says the security system provides is well worth it.
I feel very at ease whether I'm 2 miles away or 200 miles away, or I undoubtedly could be 2,000 miles away and feel secure.
Hassel made his comments at a recent demonstration of the smart farm technology at his farm. The state of Iowa and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency have struck an agreement that will avoid immediate federal oversight of Iowa livestock operations, but the state has agreed to conduct in-person inspections of about 3,200 confinement operations within the next 5 years. Kevin Baskins is a spokesman for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, the agency that will be in charge of the inspections.
One of the main agreements that we have with the EPA is to first focus on the larger facilities, and then as we get into more medium-sized type facilities, looking at the ones that are the closest to waters of the state.
David Goodner is a spokesman for the Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement, one of the groups pushing for tougher regulation of livestock operations.
There's no question the deal could have been stronger and more effective if it wasn't for Governor Branstad's political interference on behalf of the Farm Bureau. That being said, we think this is an important first step. It's a big win for clean water, and it's going to lay the foundation for more reforms and more changes in the future.
The so-called work plan was signed by representatives of the state of Iowa and by officials in the EPA's regional office in Kansas City. Large operations with more than 1,000 head of cattle, more than 2,500 hogs, or more than 82,000 laying hens will be inspected by someone from the Department of Natural Resources. Then medium-sized confinements will be inspected. Baskin says officials in the DNR believe they have enough staff to do the job.
But one of the other main points of discussion that we had was being able to prioritize and spend our time on those facilities that probably would need the most assistance. And, you know, those are the ones that are primarily sited next to water or close to water. They may still have, like, open manure storage rather than contained or enclosed.
Goodner says facilities found to be polluting water will be forced to get federal operating permits, which has never happened before in Iowa.
It broadens the universe of factory farm violations that are subject to fines and penalties. That's going to create a deterrent effect from operators who want to cut corners.
Goodner says his group, the Sierra Club and Environmental Integrity Project, will not drop the threat of the lawsuit, however.
The DNR committed to doing a number of things over the next 5 years. Our petition is going to remain outstanding until the end of that 5-year process, so we can say the DNR has done what they've said they're going to do, or they haven't done their job, and we need more changes.
The DNR spokesman stresses that his agency does not intend to play a gotcha game with livestock producers and will work with owners to get their operations in compliance.
I would imagine, you know, there'll still be some people that would rather see some different things done, but I think that what has been put forth is going to serve both the environment, and I think it's going to be, in the end, an assistance to producers.
The DNR is required to submit periodic status reports to the EPA revealing how many inspections have been completed, and the first status report is due in 90 days. Finally in the news, the Adams County Sheriff's Department reports the arrest on Thursday of two residents of Corning. Officials say the Adams County Dispatch Center received a call from Ronald Corey stating that he was at the residence of Barbara Corey, and there is a valid no-contact order between the pair. Upon arrival, Adams County deputies observed both Ronald and Barbara Corey in the residence while both of them knew about the no-contact order. They were placed under arrest and charged with violation of a no-contact order and aiding and abetting a no-contact order, respectively. And they were brought to the Adams County Jail, where the pair await an initial appearance. They were being held without bond until the appearance before the magistrate. News time is 9:09.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
In the funeral announcements, Albert Sturm, age 89, of Manning, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Albert Sturm will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Madeline Schomer, age 89, of Harlan, died Monday. A massive Christian burial service for Madeline Schomer will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gary Lincoln, age 74, of Stewart, died September 1st. A visitation for Gary Lincoln will be this evening from beginning at 6 o'clock at the Stewart Legion Hall. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Florine Chalupka, age 92, of Yale, died Friday. No memorial services are planned for Florine Chalupka, only an evening of visitation, which takes place today from 4 until 7 p.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. James Carey, age 75, of Atlantic, died Sunday in Omaha. A funeral mass for James Carey will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Norma Jean Oldiehoff, age 84, of Walnut, died Tuesday. Graveside services for Norma Oldiehoff will be held on Friday at 11:30, that is, at the Layton Township Cemetery of Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Michael McDonald, age 56, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for Michael McDonald will be held Friday at 1 o'clock at the Abundant Life Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Eugene Rasmussen, age 77, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Eugene Rasmussen will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Gertrude Weiss, age 90, formerly of Manila, died Saturday. Funeral services for Gertrude Weiss will be this Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Bonnie Ritchie, age 60, of Exira, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Bonnie Ritchie will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Byron Bauer, age 86, of Rural Bridgewater, died Saturday. Funeral services for Byron Bauer will be held on Sunday at 2:30 at the Cumberland Community Building. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.